Hey, listeners, Mark here. Just want to let you guys know that I'm going to be at Walker Stalker Atlanta, and that would be October 18th to the 20th this weekend. So if you're there, please come on over, say hello, let's get together and see each other. I will also be doing a panel with the original comic artist, Tony Moore. He did the first 6 issues of The Walking Dead. So you could find me doing that panel at 11:45. On a live stage at Walker Stalker Atlanta on Sunday. So 11:45 Sunday, I'll be interviewing Tony Moore. So it'd be great to have people that listen and hang out for our podcast at the actual event and hear me interview Tony. And then we could talk afterwards. It'd be awesome. And I hope you guys enjoy the podcast.
Hi, this is Tom Payne, otherwise known as Jesus from The Walking Dead. And you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through.
Hi, guys. This is Nadia Hilker. I'm playing Magna on The Walking Dead. And you guys are listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through. I hope you guys enjoy this podcast. And I'm sending you all my love. Bye.
Hey, survivors, and welcome to another fine episode of The Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Brian.
And I'm Mark.
And I forgot to say this is episode 101. So, feels weird to be in the triple digits on this podcast. Although, you know, combined between fear and, you know, we're like close to 170. But anyway, we will be covering Season 10, Episode 2 of The Walking Dead, titled, We Are the World. I can't even hold a straight face. I'll say it again. Kyle, remember, We Are the World is a joke. So I'm intentionally saying We Are the World. It's a joke. All right, and tonight we will be covering Season 10, Episode 2 of The Walking Dead, titled, We Are the World. But before we get started, we will have some additional feedback for The Walking Dead Season 10, Episode 1, titled, Lines We Cross. So let's listen to Rick and Simon.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
All right. The first bit of feedback is from me. I should explain. We had some technical difficulties near the end of the recording last week where my call dropped off while I was giving my final notes. And I had this like huge discovery or revelation that I had to say. And for some reason that I still don't understand, I never said it. So I wanted to make sure to say this. I mentioned it on the Facebook group, but I did not, and I may have put it in the notes of the episode, but I need to say it on the recording before I forget. Okay. So the whole thing with the satellite, I believe, is set up to allow the world of The Walking Dead to expand. So in other words, what Eugene is going to find on that satellite, the equipment that he salvaged, is going to be telecommunications equipment, probably something that he's going to be able to use to either boost his antenna strength or boost his signal that will allow him to communicate with the CRM, possibly even Jenny's group. Probably not, though, but most certainly, I think that this is how they'll come in contact with this third series that, you know, is supposedly they're from Monument or something like that. But I believe that the whole thing behind this satellite thing is designed for Eugene to kind of expand the world through whatever he finds on that satellite. Because of course, a satellite is probably going to have some telecommunications equipment on it. So it makes perfect sense that there'd be something to boost radio signal, maybe something to boost the signal worldwide, or for them to get shortwave going or something. I don't know. But that was the point that I tried to make last week. And for some reason, I had a brain fart and I didn't. So, and it may also tie into Rick and maybe them making contact with Rick. It may tie into Michonne leaving, and it may tie into Maggie coming back. So all of that, I think, is all central to the satellite salvage. So we'll see if I'm right. And since this episode had nothing to do with that, I can still make that prediction and it still be, you know,
relevant.
Relevant, yes. So that's the good part. All right. So the next bit of feedback we got is from Dieta from Detroit. Notice how we don't have any Aaron feedback, by the way.
Hey.
Of course, Aaron does not watch The Walking Dead, so we probably won't hear from her for months to come unless she starts to watch the third show. Anyway, Dieta from Detroit is next, and she had a couple of points that were directed at me, so I might as well read it. She says, Brian, the boundaries were set in the episode when Alpha took Daryl up on the rock over the walkers. She told him the boundaries. I can't remember what she actually said, but it was something like east of this and west of that. Hands up, hands up. I don't think that's a shrug. Emojis. But that's how they know. Oh, and the radiation was mentioned with Eugene and the music guy, who would be Luke. And Eugene said something about, you already have the virus in you. What's a little radiation? Oh, and one more thing, Brian. Jesus is phenomenal on his new show, The Prodigal Son. Two thumbs up. Good show. Hmm. I have not had a chance to watch it.
Same here.
All right. So that's almost record time for recent episodes.
Wow. Considering what we got with fear.
Yeah. So let's get to this episode. I already mentioned the title, but it's season 10, episode 2, We Are the World.
No, wait. Brian, that's We Are the World. The episode is We Are the End of the World.
We Are the End of the World?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
What is wrong with you?
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Yes, it's We Are the End of the World. I could not resist. Mark knew I was going to do something like this. I just couldn't resist it, man. Yeah, We Are the End of the World. So it is written by Nicole Morante Matthews. I have no idea if that's how you actually say her name. But she is new to the show, and she is a co-executive producer, and I looked her up on IMDb, and she has credits as a co-executive producer of one of the shows that you covered, Mark,
yep.
Luke Cage, and was also a co-executive producer on NCIS, mm-hmm. supervising producer on Law & Order Criminal Intent, producer on Kane, which I don't know that one, or co-producer on The Nine, co-producer on Huff, and writer on Any Day Now, which I think I've heard of. I don't remember much about that one, but certainly the first three I mentioned, I have definitely heard of and have watched. Well, actually, I haven't watched Luke Cage, but I know of it, and I know you have.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, all of those, she has a lot of writing credits. So this is a seasoned writer, and directed by, of course, executive producer and lead director on the show, Greg Nicotero. And the description is 8 flashback reveals the origins of Alpha and Beta. Alpha attempts to toughen up Lydia as they prepare to walk with the dead. The Whisperers create their herds. Although that doesn't feel too suspenseful. All right, Mark, what did you think of this episode?
Well, I gave it 8 out of 10. We are monsters.
And I had a similar kind of reaction to this that a couple of our listeners did. But basically, I give it 8 yummy faces, or 8 uncommitteds, or 8 whisperer temper tantrums, or 8 I am, we are the end of the worlds. Anyway, or I could have said what Steve said. So, Mark, why don't you read Steve's feedback or rating?
Well, Steve from Oklahoma City gives it 8 out of 10 backstory and characters that mean nothing to me.
That summed it up perfectly. And Dieta from Detroit said, 8 out of 10, I agree with Steve. I'm not really caring about her backstory. Ain't like she's going to be here for long. Hands up, shrug, smiley face, enters Carol, she says. And anyway, Steve and Dieta summed it up pretty much my take on this. It reminded me a lot of my reaction to season 1 of Game of Thrones. I could appreciate that it was well written and well acted and well directed, and the stunts were good and all that, but I wasn't connecting with the characters at all. And the characters of especially Alpha and Beta, I just don't care about. You know, this series has been, you know, Rick Grimes has been my guy, and to a lesser extent, some of the other characters of our group. Alpha, and I even, you know, like Negan a whole lot more than I like Alpha. Alpha, she's just too weird. And I think Beta's too weird, too. And I just can't relate to those characters at all. They're just not. They don't connect with me, and I've got more to say about that in the weak sauce that might explain it a little bit better, but that's my take on it. So
yeah,
it's one of those things I could appreciate. I know a lot of people thought this was a great episode, but then a lot of people thought of it like I did, which is like,
yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah, I was in between, and I gave it a little extra because of, you know, the characters and, you know, they're trying to gain sympathy for these characters. That's all I got.
Yeah. And that's why it got an 8, because I could appreciate it for being a well done episode.
Yeah.
But it didn't get higher than that because I don't connect with these characters at all. So, you know, if it had not been well done, it probably would have got a 6 or a 7 for me. So that goes to show you how well I thought this was executed. It just had it, put it this way, the highest it could have gotten was an 8. Yeah. So I gave it an 8.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
I was already at a 7 at one point, but
yeah.
You know, since Greg actually directed it and the effects were awesome and the acting was pretty well done considering.
Yeah, I actually raised it from a 7 to an 8. On the second watch, I watched it a total of 3 times, and between the first and the second watch, I raised it by 1. So anyway, we've got a few more ratings, Mark.
Sure. Alex from New Jersey gives it 9 out of 10 creepy backstory episode. This is The Walking Dead at its best.
Alex is still in delight over the fact that it's not fear. Glynis from Toronto seems to be more in line with me, and I guess you too, yeah. Gave it a 7 out of 10, A, B, G.
And LT from NC says, I'm giving this one 9 out of 10, Walking After Midnights.
All right, so let's move on to Awesome Sauce.
Awesome Sauce!
Well, Alex from New Jersey says, I love how they show how the Whisperers move in a pack, how they communicate. Gamma takes out her own sister for the group, wrangling the walkers. Take note, fear people.
Dieta from Detroit says, and I guess that's a thinking face. I don't know.
Questioning thinking.
I guess the part when the sister attacked Alpha in the Horde.
Well, LT from NC says, Samantha Morton, she is bringing a portrayal of possibly the scariest villain yet of the Walking Dead. She has that really scary edge that no one has really managed to bring before. Because to me, the governor still had an element of doing the right thing under his crazy, and Negan did have intentions in his mind despite all the stuff he did. Alpha is cunning, and yet you see the descent into malevolence with very few redeeming qualities. Maybe she's trying to care for her followers, but we keep seeing what happens when you cross her or buck the system. Likewise, kudos to Ryan Hurst for the way he is bringing Beta to life. He is the big scary counterpoint to Alpha, and he is really punctuating her portrayal, or his portrayal. If I want that Carol versus Alpha showdown, I'd pay extra to see Beta and Lucille get some quality time. I think Negan could take him. Oh, I would love to see that too.
Yeah. I figure it's either going to be Negan or Daryl that will get on with Beta. Glynis from Toronto, she has an awesome sauce. She says, this episode as a whole, Alpha and Beta backstory reveal of how they met and how the Whisperers began and why Beta wears that smiley t-shirt with the crazy Watchmen vibes and the gory friendship face mask. Yes. A couple things she mentions there, the smiley t-shirt and of course the, it's like, I'm going to take my friend with me. Oh, how will I do that? Oh, I'll wear his shirt and I'll wear his face.
Run, yes. Forrest, run. Remember he had the have a nice day.
Yes, he did. Yes.
Yeah, yes. They gave it to him, and he wiped his face on it, and that's how they came up with the having nice day.
Yes, but he didn't wear Jenny's face.
No, he didn't.
All right, what about you? What have you got for awesome sauce?
Well, I'm glad they went back to the carnage of what The Walking Dead used to be with the walkers and how they rip apart people, very much like in the first season, or actually the first three seasons were very gruesome, and they did this a few seasons after. The effects on the episode were really good. The walkers were great this time. I didn't see any masks at this point from who were zombies. So I was glad about that point. The only masks we saw were from the Whisperer characters. The other part would be the showing of the weakness within Alpha in this story about Lydia, how she was keeping it from Beta. You know, all about Lydia.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was kind of surprised. For some reason, I thought that he knew that, but
no,
guess not. And
Gamma is a new character, kind of like Daryl within the show. Something that was really there in the wasn't really there in the comic. There will be more in my notes later on regarding Gamma.
So, in the comic book, there are only two characters within the Whisperers that have names.
There are others, but they're not used in high regard in comparison to this character here. So they have others, but they just don't utilize them to the extent of what I think they're going to do with this character in the show.
Well, like, for example, Lydia. Well, she, you know, like saying that, you know, nobody else has a name. Well, Lydia had a name, and they still referred to her as Lydia. So what's up with that?
She was listed as Omega in the comic. So Lydia was listed or phrased as an Omega, which is kind of like the last end of the Greek alphabet, I think.
Well, that makes sense.
My understanding.
Yes, it is. And it makes sense that if Alpha is Alpha, that Lydia would be Omega, I guess.
Yeah. And the funny thing was, I made a joke one night when we were doing a live thread. I started going on call signs for military and Alpha, Beta, you know, Charlie, Delta, Echo, Charlie, Echo, Frank, and then there was Gamma. It's funny. They run similar to one another, but it's the funniest is, like, I was like, wait a minute. And then somebody was like, no, that's Greek. I'm like, yeah, I know. I was just making a bad joke.
Yeah. All right. Well, that, four things, actually. The gruesomeness of the cold open. I had to mention that. They eviscerated that woman. I mean, they took a big chunk out of her calf. They ate off her nose. And they literally, like, ripped her apart. Like, I don't know what it was that made those walkers so, you know,
hungry,
strong. That, like, they literally just completely ripped her apart in seconds.
Yeah.
You know? So maybe that needs to be in what sauce, but anyway, the gruesomeness of it, it was probably one of the most gruesome scenes that we've seen on the show, certainly.
In a long while. Yeah. You know? They actually pulled the jaw straight down, which I think that was all about KMB. They wanted to get the more gruesomeness. And they do that a little later on when Alpha and Beta pull apart that one walker and the hospital and everything. So I think that's why Greg actually took hold of directing this, because it's a little bit more into everything, more gruesome, more makeup effect, and more of the whispers amongst the walkers themselves, so that way you could differentiate them.
I wonder if maybe they experimented with a couple of things that in the first couple of episodes, things that maybe could be in the actual movie. You know,
good call. So
maybe, you know, this is like, you know, level one, whereas the movie will have stunts that are like this, but at level, you know, three or four, you know. So I will give one for Gamma for being so calculating, doing what she needed to do to survive, like literally, you know, killing off, well, I guess the walkers actually killed her off, but essentially she did the assist. She did the Wayne Gretzky of giving the assist, getting her off of Alpha and, you know, effectively killing her. Although I think there's a hint there that I think that she's going to eventually have a change of heart and, you know, maybe she'll become a turncoat and, you know, spy for us or something. we'll see. So I was surprised. I put this in awesome sauce. I didn't really know where to put it, but I was surprised to see Alpha show mercy. And her name, I got this from the closed captioning. The woman who gave up her baby that, you know, kind of went nuts there, had a psychotic break. Frances was her name. So Gamma's sister was Frances. I was surprised that she showed initial mercy to Frances, although, of course, it was all for naught because Frances went cuckoo face, which I believe she saw a walker with the baby carrier or something on. Yeah, so that was enough to, you know, throw her over the edge. But anyway, so it was all for naught. And I'm going to give one. Sometimes I give stuff about Talking Dead in here. Thor Birch on Talking Dead was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
She really was good on the show. It was a lot of insights there that we got about, you know, being on the show, playing her character, you know. And of course, Ryan Hurst was on. He's been on before. He was good as well. So the three guests that they had on, you know, of course, was YNB, you know, Yvette Nicole Brown, she was on as well. So the three of them together, it was a really good show. And the first couple of episodes that we've had now of Talking Dead really, really makes you remember what we've been missing in fear, not having that, you know, right after the show. And the fact that it's right after the show again. So hopefully that'll stick. Although I assume that AMC will find something, you know, like Ride season 4 or something like that to put right after by the end of the season. All right. So that's it for our awesome sauce. Now for the weak sauce.
You're worthless and weak.
I will start. It's from Dieta from Detroit. She says, how did she know they crossed the border? I thought she said something about smoke coming from the area. Then she said they must pay for crossing the border. I had to change that. She just said border, but of course, Alpha said border. Anyway, that weird accent that is not from Baltimore, according to our Baltimore friend, Wendy. But where was the mentioning of her seeing Carol? That's how the last episode ended, with them in a stare down. But this episode didn't connect that. Well, I will say that, and I definitely noticed it on my last watch. I was kind of looking for it. And in that last scene, that last shot that we see at the end of the episode, we see Alpha on the one cliff and we see Carol on the other. So clearly she sees her, but the shots that they took didn't really demonstrate that too well. But if you go back and look, you'll see Carol. Just it's a very far shot, but it's definitely Carol.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I freeze framed it and you could definitely see Alpha on the far left. And then you have to really look at the top right to see Carol. So
that's the only weak sauce we got, it looks like, for us. But it looks like, at least for one of mine, we are in agreement. So I'm going to let you start it.
Yeah, I think it was really weak. A little late, writers. We get a backstory about these people, but none about Negan. You have a lot to say about this, Brian.
Yeah, well, that's it. I wanted an origin story for Negan. You know, I still want an origin story for Negan. I want to know how he got to be what, you know, how he went from, you know, a high school teacher to the leader of the Saviors. Like, what? Because there is some good in Negan. You have to admit that by now. You know,
he's Darth Vader.
Yeah, exactly. But that's the thing. I didn't want an origin story, and now not only have I gotten an origin story for her, I've gotten two. Yeah. Because we've already
not had, really. We didn't get the whole story about Beta.
Well, exactly. But we've gotten the initial, you know, like initial times with that whole unreliable narrator story from last season. I think it was episode 10. That one had that, it was that story about Lydia kind of, you know, telling different versions of the story until we got finally to the truth.
Yeah.
But we got to see the origins of it. And then we get like, and they say 7 years ago. So was that roughly around the time of the Saviors War?
It was roughly around, it was 3 years into the zombie apocalypse.
Right.
So basically this would be roughly around the same time that Rick exited and left on, you know, on helicopter, I would say.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. It's
within that time, probably within the war or within that time. That's my speculation.
Yeah. I'd say like sometime between, say, season 7 and early season 9.
Yes.
You know, give or take. Probably more towards season 9-ish, early season 9, but I don't know. So anyway, so we get this story about Beta, but even with Beta, we don't really, like, what's the deal with Beta, you know? And what's, like, I put this in my notes, but I'll say it here. Is Beta gay? Like, what's this relationship he's got with this friend of his that he needs to wear his face? And why is he so tied to him? And, you know, there's this whole kind of, like, I don't know.
I could give comic spoilers in the notes later on if you'd like to get an idea and where they're going to wind up at.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think the attraction to Alpha was somebody that took charge, and he wound up following her because he didn't have any guidance, and he just needed that. So
right, which we definitely see in this episode. But I don't know. It's like I said, I think there's more story about Beta that we maybe get because, you know, of that hint that we got in Fear.
Exactly.
About, yeah. So I think there's a little more that we're going to find out about Beta. But that's, like, I'm more curious about Beta than I am Alpha. Alpha, like, I found the episode more interesting. That's why I got an extra point. But I just don't care about the Whispers. And I especially don't care about Alpha. She's just too weird for me.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really understand the character at all. I could understand Negan, even though I certainly didn't agree with his methods. I could even understand the governor. I might even understand the Gareth and those guys. I'm not gonna subscribe to their diet, if you know what I mean.
I like meat.
I don't think you like that cut of meat.
Oh, you never know. You don't know until you try.
Anyway, so that's my take on it. You know, I already kind of talked about this, but yeah, that's my big weak spot of the thing. But I'm also going to give a weak sauce to Frances, because her attack on Alpha was pretty weak.
Yeah.
Was her intention just to scream and cause the walkers to attack both of them? Or was she trying to injure Alpha? Because if it was the latter, that was a pretty weak attack.
I think it was just like her reacting and just trying to take out her aggression on Alpha.
But
really
all she did was, like, jump on her back.
Jump on her back just to, like, create chaos. And, like, she was just clawing at her face and things of that. And it was just pure emotional aggression because that baby crying sparked it. And that's all it was. And there was no logic behind it.
Mm.
The only person that was logical, obviously, was Gamma, was just like pulling Alpha out of there and let everybody attack Frances.
Yeah, and the baby crying thing, was it that I'd have to go back and
memory of her own child, because she saw the baby carrier on the front baby carrier on that one Zed. So in her mind, it's like it still didn't come out of her head after Alpha talked her out of it. So it's like, oh, she didn't drink enough of the Kool-Aid. So,
well, she drank enough of the Kool-Aid, but it was enough to snap her out of it, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously she had a psychotic break. That goes without saying. But, and, you know, I think in a lot of ways, I can understand that break. If any of the Whispers that I could identify with, I would identify with Frances. I could understand her reacting that way.
Oh yeah,
because I mean, let's face it, the way that the Whispers act is not natural. That is not a normal way for humans to interact with each other. So for her to have to give up her baby the way that she did, I mean, and I think she knows that she's still alive. And obviously the other thing I was going to say, I didn't put this in my notes, but the it's pretty clear that there's some dissension there within the ranks, because, you know, there was that one or the two whispers that came up to her, you know, talking about the fact that, you know, that it looked pretty safe there. There was livestock and all that. So I really wonder when they find out about the fact that Alpha did not kill Lydia. I'm wondering what that's going to cause in the, within the ranks. I think there might be a revolt. It could be a revolt.
What?
Speaking of what sauce? All right.
So Alex from New Jersey says, the Whisperers, laughing and crying emojis three times. How Alpha came to become the cult leader that she is. Most cult leaders don't follow their own rules. So the conversation with Beta was very telling. This was an episode that we needed, but I don't want to watch it again. Way too creepy. And on to our own what sauce. What? No encounter for little Lydia in the show when she puts on the Zed goo, you know, that Alpha left out for her in the hospital. Right. And recite that she is a monster. I know I'm asking a lot, but at least one encounter for the kid as she's going through this, you know, like little horror maze of her own to get to her own mother that her mother set up.
Yeah.
You know, just give us that just a little bit, because honestly, this is how this kid was scarred, and this is why she's with these people, you know, with the Alexandrians and the Kingdom Knights and, you know, right, and everybody else.
Exactly. Well, I had a few what sauces here. In the cold open, that woman, why didn't she at least try to roll up the windows?
It wasn't
raining. Idiot. Idiot. Remind me of one of the short treks this week. Anyway, I don't know if you had a chance to see it yet, but there's an idiot on that show. Those walkers must have really sharp teeth. The first bite, they take a huge chunk out of her calf. Then they pretty much eviscerate her in no time flat, kind of like, you know, I mentioned kind of earlier. But
yeah.
Going to that scene, I will also ask a question. How did the door suddenly open? Like, Alpha was, like, shaking the crap out of that handle, and it wasn't opening, and then all of a sudden it opened. And I don't think it was Beta that opened it, because he was far away when they got into that, whatever that was, a mental hospital or treatment facility or whatever it was. And I kind of refer to this, but if Alpha says that they shouldn't have names, why does she keep calling her daughter Lydia? Even in this episode, several times. Now, the other thing I had was Beta tells Alpha that they lost three of their own on that day. I only saw one. Who were the other two?
Exactly.
So you didn't see him either?
No. I look back at the episode. I didn't see anything.
All right, so let's move on to sad and aw sauce. Aww. And we didn't get any sad or aw sauce from our listeners today, so but we got some, so what do you have?
Well, I was sad that we didn't see anyone else in any other community, whether it be Alexandria, the Kingdom, Oceanside, or Hilltop. Nobody. No talk about Carol, or, you know, or a scene afterwards at the very end with Carol mentioning anything. You would think, oh, maybe there would be a segue scene into next episode, but nothing. This was like just a full bottle episode.
Well, I felt sorry for Frances. I kind of mentioned her earlier. You know, the woman that had to give up her child. I felt bad for her, because I think that that's the one the one whisperer that I could relate to in this whole story. So I will say, but I did feel sorry for Alpha just a little bit, because she was trying to replace Lydia first with Francis, and kind of like, you know, as a child, you know, the way she was like holding her and that. And then I think with Gamma, kind of like the daughter she never had, the one that she can mentor and teach, and, you know, someday she'll become the Alpha, you know. And of course, I think a little over optimistic. I really have a feeling that Gamma isn't in for the long haul, but I could be wrong. I think she's more pragmatic than Alpha. So, but we'll see. All right, so let's move on to our regular feedback section.
We can talk about
it. Done talking. Time to listen.
Oh, we got one voicemail this week, and that's from our friend Steve from Oklahoma City.
Hello, Brian, Mark. This is Steve. And unfortunately, I think I'm going to be in the minority with this episode. It didn't grab me. I didn't care about the backstory. The second time through, it was better than the first time. There was some interesting things, I guess, that we found out. But overall, it just didn't, I don't know. I didn't care about where they came from, especially since we know where Lydia is now. So how did she get from here to there, or from there to here? It just, anyway, I still gave it 8 because it, like I said, the second time through, it had some decent things going on. You know, we found out some cool things, I guess, and introduced to a new character. But yeah, this episode just didn't do it for me. Talk to you later.
Well, thank you so much, Steve. And you are not alone, because it didn't work for either of us either.
Yeah. Well, actually, Steve and I talked about this last night when we were podcasting. So, and he goes, I felt bad because it's like, I was like, you're not in the minority. You're in a majority at this point. A lot of people I know didn't like it.
Yeah. I mean, I listened to Jason and Karen earlier, and, you know, they seem to like it. And I listened to Aim for the Head, Diana and Steve, they seemed to like it. And I also listened to post-show recaps. They also seemed to like it. So I think that it was a mixed bag. I think some people seemed to like it, and I think others did not. We're in the did not.
Yeah, we're in the not, which is very odd because usually we're in the go. Especially Fear last year, we were trying to push for it.
I mean, you know, as negative as a lot of the feedback was with Fear, I mean, we were
entertained.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say that we were positive on it, but we were a lot more positive than some people were.
Oh yeah.
So I think that I think that I'm excited about the direction of the show. I think next episode is going to be amazing.
Oh yeah.
I really think that this next episode is going to be really good. But the subject matter of this one, just, you know, it just doesn't connect with me. I've already said it 3 times, so I'll shut up. But all right. So we've got some feedback from Dieta, and she says, it was an okay episode. Alpha's backstory plus just proved to me she crazy. Yes, she is. I just don't understand how weak you got to be to join a group that likes to walk with the dead and live off the land. I couldn't do it. My OCD would go crazy. Mine too. I'm guessing they saw the satellite fall from the sky as well. Were they on their way back from hibernation in the south? Well, they definitely did see it. I mean, we see You see them look up. So they saw it. I assume that they were heading back, but they were, you know, probably pretty close already. Mm-hmm. So Alpha is missing her daughter. I guess she's trying to replace her with Gamma. And what'd you call that emoji? I'm always stumped by it.
Hands up.
Hands shrugging. Up. Hands up shrug.
Yeah.
What's behind Beta's mask? A burnt face like Dwight or worse? Well, it's a friend's face. So he literally the walker that Alpha killed was his friend that I don't know what he was doing with that guy to, like, you know, not kill him, but whatever, he got out or whatever, and Alpha killed him. And of course, Beta didn't like that too much. So, you know, she convinced him, you know, and in her, like, I don't know, kind of cult leader, persuasive way that, you know, whatever it is about her, she definitely seems to sing Beta's tune, so to speak.
We'll find out.
Yeah. But she seems to be able to get to him. So he, you know, he decides to take him with him, take his friend with him. So he takes that stupid smiley shirt and his face, which I don't know if I'd be wearing my friend's face all the time, unless he was a handsome man. I don't know.
More I don't handsome want you doing that me. To me, man.
All right. Last thing she says is, I'm still excited about the season. Ready for the showdown to commence. Me too. All right. That's it. Thank you so much, Deanna.
So Glennis from Toronto says, Lydia was doomed from the start to ever look to be strong in Alpha's eyes. Whatever she tried to do, like facing her walker fears head on, to prove she was strong, wasn't ever good enough for Alpha, which is very true. I guess she saw lack of faith in her own child and has been trying to drive that for her.
Well,
I agree.
And you know, I thought that I'd never see this in you. And, you know, I want to be strong like you, Mama. Oh, that's great. Mama. But you better be strong or I'll leave you. Oh, don't leave me, Mommy. You know, it's like, that's a great mommy there. I'm going to leave you.
Yeah. She continues on saying, deep down, Alpha really loves Lydia, but she can't show that being the leader of the Whispers, and love is looked on as being weak, which is true, because they are all supposed to be empty in Alpha and Beta's minds.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, we've talked about this already, that whole thing about the cult leader doesn't follow the rules of that is set down in the cult. You know, it's like, reminds me of David Koresh kind of thing, or Jim Jones. But yeah, I think of Koresh because Koresh, you know, turned around and, like, you know, had sex with like 30 of his
women. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the kind of thing that seems to happen a lot in these kind of things. It's like, you know, say one thing and do another, and I can do this because I'm the alpha. I'm the cult leader, you know. Oh, you guys put yourselves in beds and, you know, take cyanide or whatever the Heaven's Gate cult.
Yeah.
You know, go ahead and do this and, you know, I'll just watch. I don't know if that's what Heaven's Gate did. Okay, so I'd have to go back and look at it. But my point being that the cult leader does one thing and tells the cult to do another.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like Marilyn Manson. Not Marilyn Manson. Manson. Charles Manson. Sorry, everybody.
Charles Manson, yes. Yes, Charles Manson. Yeah, that's a good example.
Because he didn't really do any of those crimes. He had everybody else do those crimes for him.
Right.
And he wound up serving out his life sentence and dying in prison.
Right.
And a few of those ladies that did those crimes were up for parole and denied and still living there. but he did not have any blood on his hands, supposedly. But the fact that he implied it and made others do it created that whole thing. But
right, right. Yeah, I mean, he did. He directed other people to do the his bidding. So, all right.
So what was the segue? Come on.
Segue.
Well, she continues on saying, I think Alpha is also putting up a front with forsaking modern living conveniences. That she dropped the facade in a heartbeat, but she now has to keep leading by example. So can't go back on her warped philosophical reasoning. And of course, she got a good few serious screws loose. So her reasoning and decision making is broken already.
Yeah, she's all helter-skelter. It took me a while to figure out a Charles Manson thing, but helter-skelter seems to work.
Yeah. She says, was that a mental institution or an addiction clinic that Alpha and Lydia escaped into? As I haven't rewatched the episode yet, but if it was, either that explains a lot about the mindset of Beta and being fodder for Alpha's crazy ideas and designs.
I'm pretty sure that it was a mental institution because that room that Alpha and Lydia go into is padded. So that would indicate a, you know, padded walls being a mental institution, like somewhere solitary or whatever that they would put a patient who could endanger his or her life. So that's, I think, like, I think I mentioned earlier about, you know, some kind of treatment center or something, but I tend to think it was either an mental institution or, you know, whatever you want to call it, psychiatric hospital, whatever.
Yeah, and I'm thinking at my thought in this whole scheme of things with Beta and his friend, I'm thinking that his friend brought him in to help counsel him, and Beta was the crazy one, and his friend was somebody that he looked up to that was trying to give him help, and that's why he wears his face and wears the t-shirt.
Hmm.
But that's just my thought.
Possible. Certainly possible.
I don't think it's the other way around.
Or maybe both of them were in the mental institution and, you know, that the other guy was more sane than Beta was. Like, I am curious about why he wore that, like,
top half of the mask.
Yeah. I don't get why he wore that.
I don't know.
Like, he just said, I am the end of the world. You know, maybe that was part of it, but still, it's weird. Anyway.
We'll find out.
Yep.
We continue on, and Alpha seemed to emphasize with Gamma's sister Frances because they had both lost their child. So Alpha was more lenient and showed her mercy in allowing her to live, and Alpha trying to substitute Frances for Lydia ultimately led to Alpha letting her guard down. When Frances acted on her grief and angry by attempting to kill Alpha, which is true, but in the very end, we find out that Beta didn't even know anything about Lydia. You know, his thought was that, you know, Lydia was dead. Maybe that's why Alpha, you know, sympathized with her, but then betrayal. You could see it in Beta's face or eyes.
Definitely. We saw that. Speaking of that, good part to put that. Like, we've got his mask, which is kind of like
a half
mask. And then we had Gamma's mask, which had her eyes were very, like, wide open. You could see them very clearly.
Yep.
But her sister, man, you couldn't make out anything of her face.
That is true. Yeah.
Yeah.
She continues on saying, it's a warped way of thinking as the Whisperers have this hive mentality. Oh, what are they, Borg? So showing any individuality and strength and emotional feelings can get you killed if you don't conform to Alpha and Beta's whisper ways.
Resistance is futile.
Sorry, I had to bring that up as soon as I read that.
7 of 9 coming to a TV screen near you.
Gamma has her own agenda, is only looking out for herself, and does not really care about anyone else, including her sister. Gamma was only concerned about her sister because her sister's actions were bringing it to the attention of Alpha and Beta. So, listeners, there's a movie I'm going to give you homework for, and you go need to go see it because it came out in 2001. It's got Keira Knightley, Thor Birch, and a couple of other mainstream actors. It was under the wire because it was a British-made movie called The Hole. Now, it's kind of manipulative, and Thora Birch is in this, and it's very, very good. I think this was a catalyst of how she was able to create the character Gamma when she came onto The Walking Dead. So, I suggest you watch it.
Put that in the... in the Facebook group, and if you give me the link, I'll put it in the show notes as well.
Sure. Yeah. It was the character that she plays in The Hole is very manipulative, but you don't really see it. You could tell it's craziness, but you see the whole story by the end of the movie and your mouth's agape.
The main thing I remember her from, and I think I've seen her in a few other things, but the main thing I remember her from was American Beauty. So,
and Ghost World with Scarlett Johansson. It was an underrated, kind of like a kid movie, but gothy and dark.
Not seen that one.
Yeah.
All right. So one other point there, I think.
Yep. The internal whisper conflict is set up now to play out between Alpha and Gamma vying for Beta's affections, or Beta and Gamma outdoing each other to impress Alpha. Don't know which scenario will prevail at the moment, which is very true. You know, maybe it's a battle of wills, but I think it might be more of a battle of will between Gamma and Beta and more than it is Alpha and Gamma.
Yeah, I mean, clearly he does not like her, because when he says, you know, I feel nothing for you, that was, and she, you know, says something about, you know, feeling empty as well. I don't think that's what he meant. I think that, you know, he does not like her for reasons maybe he senses her pragmatic sense. I don't know. Like that whole thing about, you know, when she said to her sister, you know, I should have left you behind or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know what the deal is there. I guess we'll find out more. I know that she's going to be in the next episode, so maybe we'll find a little more out about that whole dynamic. All right, we got one more bit of feedback. It's from our friend LT from NC, and I'll just say, LT, you sent us a bunch of videos this week. Most of them were kind of showing us how to penetrate a coconut. So, like, what I mean by he used a coconut as a simulation to a skull to show how preposterous it is on The Walking Dead that they're able to put a knife through a skull in this show so easily. And he showed us using a knife against a coconut, and that didn't work at all. But the thing that did work was a hammer, and that worked quite well. And he also used a gun against a coconut, which is kind of interesting too. So, LT also left us a great little kind of like, why he appreciates both this podcast and the Star Trek Discovery podcast so much. It's really good. Did you get a chance to watch the videos, Mark?
No, at least I have a whole day before I actually go away, and I'm going to be watching all Star Trek stuff.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, there. So his videos are pretty short. So you want to catch those?
No, definitely.
Yeah. Anyway, so his points. He says maybe I'm still suffering from post fear trauma syndrome, but this episode is the way I like seeing a flashback episode done. You have pretty clear cuts between now and then. I would agree with that. And I know it isn't a thing, but I finally had my squick moment. So maybe gruesome sauce. The cold open nose bite was my tipping point. I don't know what expression I had on my face, but my daughter walked in and said, "Dad, are you okay?" Plus, Beta skinning his friend's face was the other one for me this week. It is kind of short, but I found myself enjoying the episode as a whole and not having too many bits to comment on. Of course, the one lingering thing is how will the secret of Lydia being alive play out? What will all the anonymous, not Greek-lettered whisperers do once they figure out Alpha lied? That is my big question of the week. I really wonder about a revolt. So... We've got a little few more notes. Actually, I've got quite a few more notes, but you've got a couple more notes, Mark.
Yeah, well, the one thing would be the husking of the zombie skin was nice to see finally. You know, we finally get to see what they do to prep and prepare. That was nice to see. I really wanted a little bit more about Beta's friend. That would have been nice. And then to add to other notes based upon what would be comic spoilers for others. So if you guys want to skip ahead, give about like a minute. The whole backstory about Beta in the comic, if you read the comic, he was a celebrity. And that's the whole point of him not having, you know, having the mask and being covered because he didn't want to be seen. And in this case, I guess they're gearing it towards somebody who is a music celebrity. And that's why the music was kind of a trigger for him. So I think they're gearing it more towards that, but maybe he put himself in there for some sort of psychological treatment. I originally thought, oh, okay, he's there for some sort of drug treatment. But since you brought up the whole psychological thing and they had the pads and everything for the mental institution, that made more sense. So yeah. Maybe he kind of snapped in that caption. So it kind of fuels the idea of the character. And to add to everybody else, you know, obviously Alpha doesn't last in the long run. but we do get to see some things that do happen, but my feeling about the show and where it's going within the next, I think the Whisperer War will happen within 5 episodes, and that's including like a mid-season maybe. So I don't know.
Yeah. It could very well be ending by the half season. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
You know, because, well, just certain things we've heard
about. And they're moving things along, too.
Right.
It seems moving a little bit faster pace to trying to get stories in. So I'm hoping this will be, you know, good enough to watch. And finally, we don't have that long stagnation like we did with the All Out War.
Right.
I hated that idea that they did it for a full year. You can't do that. It should have been a half a year, and then they could have done other things. But I'm glad if they do this within reasonable time, that leads us on to something else, which kind of leads us dry to a lot of comic story at that point, which will lead us on to more original content.
Yeah.
It's seasons to come, you know?
Yeah. Why do you think that Beta says that the sounds of the dead are the only sounds, it's the only song he doesn't want to end? Why do you think that is?
Probably because he doesn't want to hear real music anymore because he was a musician.
Yeah, that's what we believe. And we see in this episode, some of their Walker collection techniques. I thought that was kind of interesting how they were doing it. And I kind of took note of the way Alpha, like, kind of in the parking garage, got those walkers and was able to draw them over and bring them over. When Beta says to Francis, "You will pay." I mean, I said this to you on Sunday night. I immediately thought, I wish the showrunners of Fear would pay with their jobs.
And it went over my head. I didn't think totally. About that.
Yeah. Yeah. But when I explained it, you got it. But anyway, and I just know that when, like, probably next episode, when Alpha confronts our gang over violating the border, there won't be any kind of, like, you know, well, you know, we saved your border or something. You know, we saved you. There was a big forest fire and we did it because we saved ourselves, but we also saved you guys. She doesn't care about that. She only cares about violating the border because she's crazy, I think, is the bottom line. Like, there is, I don't know. It's like, I was thinking about whether or not I said in here, there will be no negotiation, just retribution. Now, she tried to negotiate when it came to her daughter coming back last season. So, I mean, maybe she'll negotiate on certain things. I don't know, but I just don't see, you know, she sets down rules kind of, as Carol said last week, unilaterally. But I just don't see her kind of being rational when it comes to this, even though it makes, total sense. The couple other things was mentioned during Talking Dead. Some people thought that Gamma's shirt was Enid's shirt, that she was somehow wearing Enid's shirt. And Chris Hardwick showed, like, split screen pictures of Gamma's shirt and Enid's shirt. They were both plaid, but they weren't the same shade of blue. So it definitely wasn't. And I'll just say, you know, I haven't lived there in almost 20 years, but I was born and raised Canadian. I don't notice plaid.
It's a Seattle thing.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, seriously, like, you know, I wore plaid, you know, for 35 years of my life. And if somebody's wearing plaid, I'm not going to notice because it's kind of ingrained in me. So the funny thing, this is a weird reference, but I put in the notes, Little House on the Prairie. You probably saw that. Like, what the hell is he talking about? It reminded me there was one episode, tragic episode, where, and, you know, spoiler from like 30 years ago.
Yeah.
But there's one episode where, Mary Ingalls, who is, you know, married and has baby, and she's, blind, and they're in this, like, school for the blind or whatever. And there's some shenanigans in the basement, and there's a fire, and bottom line, she loses her baby. And it just, the raw emotion of that reminded me of Francis in this episode, like, that's kind of psychotic break, because poor Mary Ingalls in Little House on the Prairie, she had a similar kind of thing. I know. It's a deep, deep, deep cut, but my wife would appreciate it. And the funny thing is, I got to share this moment. This is not really like anything from the episode, but it was funny today when I was watching it. I was listening to Aim for the Head, and they were talking about, it was like a barrage of, they were talking about Alpha and Beta and Gamma. And like in short succession, Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Alpha, Beta, Gamma. And I was like, I started thinking about, what about Delta? Who's Delta on this? Right. And just as I said that, literally like in my head, 1 second later in the waiting room, and listeners, so you know, I mentioned last week my wife broke her ankle. Well, today she had surgery on the ankle, so I had to take the day off work, and I was in the waiting room and watching TV in the waiting room. And just as I said, what about Delta? Who's Delta? A commercial pops up for Delta Faucets. I couldn't believe it. I had to put it in the notes. It was so funny. But anyway, all right. So let's move on to news, ratings, and info.
There's a couple weird stories on the news.
And unfortunately, when it comes to news, ratings, and info, ratings are... I don't remember if I said this last week. I said it in the blog post, I remember. But with last week's rating, and I'll just give it now again, 1.44 in the 18 to 49 with 4.000 million viewers. That was the low, not just lowest season premiere, but the lowest rating for the show ever until this week. And I expected that we would end up in the threes this week. And I wouldn't be surprised if sometime during the season, we end up into the 2 million range, you know, under three. That, I mean, it won't get under two, but it should get it. I wouldn't be surprised if we see 2 point something million. Anyway, this week it got a 1.29 in the 18 to 49, which that rating is still pretty good for shows. I was just looking on comparing it to like other TV shows and the networks, and like most of the TV shows, like of scripted programs, they don't get too much higher than this. So it's still doing well in the 18-49, but like things like football and that just, and
new shows that are coming out actually that night,
and the baseball playoffs and that, those ratings are like way above, which you can understand. Anyway, I got a 1.29 in the 18-49 with 3.467 million viewers. So yes, it did get into the threes, and it actually went under 3.5. So pretty big drop. I imagine that when the Live Plus 3 and the Live Plus 7 ratings come out, it'll do better. But still, it's pretty low. Talking Dead actually did better in comparison. It got a 0.49 in the 18 to 49 with 1.349 million viewers. That is down, not too much, but it's down from 0.52. 18 to 49 with 1.620 million viewers. So that is a little bit. As far as two things I wanted to bring up, something I missed from last week, casting news. a character from the comic was cast, I believe it was just before, it was late, like a week and a half ago, roughly. I missed it. Yeah. So, was announced at the Comic-Con panel on a week ago, Saturday. Paula Lazzaro, I think, has been cast as the character of Princess, who is in the show. And she, a member of the Commonwealth or something?
Nope.
Okay. According to one thing on comicbook.com, also known as the Princess of Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Juanita Sanchez is her real name, I guess.
Yep.
So, not to give a lot of detail there, but what can you tell us about that character, Mark?
Oh, if you wanted a real comic booky character, that is your comic booky character for The Walking Dead. You thought Negan was aggressive and bad and langing and just like leaning back and doing his thing.
Ho! Ho!
Princess is kind of the plucky airhead.
Okay.
For the zombie apocalypse. And she does her own thing. And think of a girl in a pink fur jacket with okay. sunglasses. So, enough said. And the character is interesting, and I say plucky because it brings a humor to it. So, whether or not they resonate that within the show, I don't know. But I'm looking forward to the idea of the character coming into the show.
Yeah, and I can't say I know the actress. Do you know her from anything?
No, doesn't spark.
She is, says that she's a dramatic writer. I looked her up on in Wikipedia, and I don't see anything that mentions The Walking Dead on there, so it might not be the same person.
Might not. Might maybe be. She's new, kind of like the new guy that we got in Fear.
Maybe. Oh, that's true. Well, anyway, so she's been cast, and we'll see. The other thing, it's not really news, but I did want to mention, I said that I would do this. So I did go back and I watched the trailer for The Walking Dead 3, as it's sometimes called, the new show.
Monument,
yes.
And you corrected me.
Yeah.
Because I kept saying Monolith, but I think Monolith would be a better name for it than Monument.
Yeah, I don't know. But supposedly of the CRM, which I don't think that was actually in, that hasn't been in The Walking Dead proper, right? That's only in Fear that they've mentioned CRM?
Not certain exactly, but yeah. It's definitely the Three Rings. And
Three Rings, know, yes.
Yeah. And the thought and idea behind it and conspiracy theories that are going out there is it's the Commonwealth and Monument. And I don't know what the R is.
Rick. Rickville. That would be funny if it was Rickville, but
yeah,
I doubt it. Maybe Richmond or something. I don't know. Republic. Anyway, so I watched it again, and I have to say, same reaction. It didn't grab me. I mean, the funny thing, the two. Or maybe three adult characters that you see in the show, I had a little more of a reaction to. And what does that tell of me? I don't know. But it's just not working for me.
The thing that turned me off just at the slightest, and that was one still shot, and I showed it to you, and I think I pointed it out, was they showed three zombies that were in a cockpit.
Yeah.
And you could see them done up very well from head all the way down to their arms, but their hands, you see flesh on it.
Mm.
Like natural, like real living flesh. And I'm like, okay, so everything else is deteriorated, but that flesh, I'm like, right away, the makeup effects right away to me. If you're promoting a show and it's based upon zombies, but you show that, and I see that right away. That's something. There's something wrong with there. So,
well, maybe that's something that they will fix in post.
I hope so, because to me that was like a turnoff. I'm like, oh my god, how could you be? That would be the first that the kid who is in charge of promotion and like even just you know Photoshop just to adjust everything should be fired. Because if I caught that and I wasn't really paying attention and I was like, what is that? You know, and those are promo stills and you see them on Fear's, on the AMC site for Fear.
Hmm. All right. Well, that's it for this episode. Surprising. We're going to have a shorter episode this week. Mark, why don't you tell people how to interact with us?
Sure. Well, we want to encourage everybody to follow us on Twitter. You could find us at Walking Dead GSM. To submit your theories and feedback, most people post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group, which would be facebook.com/groups/WalkingDeadGSM. We'd like to also encourage you to use our new email address, which would be walkingdead@talkthroughmedia.com. Our new feedback form is at talkthroughmedia.com/feedback. You could also call us at 216-232-6146. And I'll say it again. You could call us at 216-232-6146 and leave us a voicemail message, and we'll play it just like we did with Steve.
Yep.
Deadline for next episode is set for our regular day and time, 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, Tuesday, October 22nd. Or you could just leave feedback at facebook.com/talkthroughmedia.
Yeah, you can share posts to there, and that's a good place to actually recommend us and give us a review. So you can do that on the Facebook page. One of the best ways you can support us, and I'll just say this, would be our Patreon. And if you sign up to the Patreon this week, next week, you will get to hear Mark and I, and we will have a couple of guests on as well. I have Diana, actually, from Aim for the Head, has agreed to come on with us, and I'm going to see if I can get a couple other people as well, mm-hmm. who have will be at Walker Stalker Con, and we can just share the experiences, and we'll talk a little bit about it next episode. But to get the full skinny, you'll have to join our Patreon at any level. The $5 level is, you know, where things kick in. But if you support us in any way, you will get to at least listen to that episode. But that will be exclusive to Patreon subscribers. And that will be our very first Patreon content. So you can get to that and support us by going to patreon.com/walkingdeadtalkthrough. And we would like to thank our Patreon supporters, Steve Brown, Alex Baelish, and Lawrence Todd. And I think we heard from all of them this week. Thank you so much in giving us feedback. But yes, so I want to say, sign up for the Patreon this week, and next week you will get special content from us talking about Walker Stalker Con. And of course, I am not going to be there, so I'll be kind of living vicariously through Mark and, you know, the other people that join us next week. But if you're a Patreon supporter, we will give you access to that. So at the $5 level, you will be able to call in to the show. And if you're less than that, we will just give you a link to it after it's been recorded. But that's going to be in a slightly different format than we normally do, not just structurally, because it'll certainly be structurally different, but it's literally going to be, we're going to record in Zoom, and whatever comes out in Zoom, that's what you get. So it's not going to, we're not going to edit it in any way. There could be swearing, F-bombs, whatever, who knows, not saying that we will, but that'll be uncensored, unedited in any way. You will get whatever comes out of our heads. So it should be a lot of fun. That's going to be our first big Patreon thing. So hopefully you guys like the sound of that. And if you go to patreon.com/walkingdeadtalkthrough, just sign up and you'll have access to it. Remember, when we post on Facebook and Twitter, you can help us out by sharing those posts, you know, or tell a friend. Word of mouth is the best way for us to get new listeners. And we've gotten some new people on the Facebook group recently. So I'd like to thank some of you that are recent to the Facebook group and welcome aboard. We're happy to see new people join us.
Definitely. But
yeah, so subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts or the podcast client of your choice. And if you use Apple Podcasts or a client that allows you to like leave a review, leave us a review. That will also help to get us some, then float near closer to the top of the vast network of Walking Dead podcasts, which are actually fewer than there used to be, but you still see all the old ones. They're still there. But we are still going strong and we'll continue to. All right. So, I mentioned last week that we had a bunch of content coming up for the Star Trek Discovery podcast and the Star Trek Picard cast. The first episode of that will be coming out soon. Ruthie and I will be recording our first episode of the Star Trek Picard cast later this week. And we've got a bunch of extra episodes coming out for the Star Trek Discovery podcast because we got two new short treks. One that was released the Saturday of New York City Comic Con, the first one was released the Saturday of New York Comic Con, and the last one was just released, this crazy episode actually, last Thursday, Tribble related, hint, hint.
Yep.
But anyway, so... So those new, short treks or, Star Trek Discovery adjacent, I guess you could say, or at least most of them are. But, that's out, and there's trailer for Star Trek Discovery, a trailer for Star Trek Picard. They will be on separate shows because we are launching the Star Trek Picard cast. Ruthie and I finally... We have a Patreon for that, and we will also be doing some exclusive Patreon content over the next month or so. That's at patreon.com/Brian and Ruthie, and when that content is coming out, you will have access to it. So just sign up. You'll get the access. Anyway, Mark, what do you have going on with Panels and Pixels?
Well, as this episode of The Walking Dead Talk Through drops, so will... Panels to Pixels. And with this one, we took a break this past weekend for our podcast because I tried to do a review that didn't do well.
Oh?
So, no, I couldn't do the Blu-ray review by myself. I kept rambling and going on, and it just didn't make any sense for anybody to listen to. Mm-hmm. So, Steve and I decided we're going to do a Watchmen Blu-ray review before the actual Watchmen premieres this Sunday, along with The Walking Dead. So if you guys are watching The Walking Dead and you have access to HBO and you're going to watch the new Watchmen TV show, we are going to be covering the new Watchmen TV show. But we did do a review last night, which will drop this Sunday along with this podcast. So after you listen to this, you could listen to us on that. And we review the actual Watchmen movie that came out in 2009. So I love that movie, and it was really cool. And this takes place about 20 years after where that movie left off. So it's an interesting concept. Just listen to me and Steve talk about it. We give a brief synopsis of what's going on within the show. So if you love that movie and like the idea and the visuals in it, like I did, I would recommend watching it and listen to us. And if you want to get interactive with us, just follow us and submit some feedback. And that would be great.
All right. Our next episode is season 10, episode 3, which is titled Ghosts. It's written by one of the new co-executive producers, Jim Barnes. At least that's according to Wikipedia, but I couldn't find the source of where that came from, but supposedly he's the writer. It didn't have listed who the director was, but the description that I was able to find, the threat of the Whisperer's return leads to paranoia sweeping over Alexandria. In the meantime, Carol battles with a need for revenge. All right, so until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm Mark.
And this is The Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.